And it's just a manger scene, a nativity scene, and it's blue, and it says, "Oh, Holy Night." You get all kinds of things. And it goes in your garage door, and it does not tear when the garage goes up because it's got tensioners on it, and it's very easy to install. Matter of fact, I'm so impressed with the way it installed. Bethany and I installed it. It's got hooks. So it hooks on the top, just hooks, over, and then it has hooks on the bottom of the tension spring. So all it is, it's not even attached. It's just hooks. But it's got a tension spring, so when the door goes over, it stretches. And when it comes back down, it's still tight. Linda got it from somewhere. I'm not sure, but if you look it up, Amazon may have it. And there's no telling where else, but I would start with Amazon. But it would be an awesome witness. And I don't know how much it costs, but it didn't take a whole lot to put together. And we can take it and put it up for next year. Just take it, roll it up, and stick it back up for next year. And we're going to do something like that, too, for Easter. Three crosses or something, a silhouette. I never heard of it till this year, and it's absolutely awesome. All right, we're going to talk about something for the next few weeks to get us through the new year, because I don't know. I was praying about it, and I said, "Lord, we need to get back into the other stuff that we're doing, but can we do something a little? I won't say fun, but something that's cool." And let's see. And at the same time, it's very helpful in this time of year because I see people stressed out at this time of year. Okay. I see so many people stressed out this time of year. They are stressed beyond stressed. It just amazes me how stressed some people are. And it's Christmas time, and people are trying to get for their peoples. And so... they're trying to get for their people, and they get. How you doing, your man? They're just trying to get. They're trying to survive. I have found out at Christmas time, the joyous time of year, there's more people just trying to survive than any other time of the year, because they look back at the past. And Christmas is in the past, and there's certainly like this year. Just in the last 2 weeks, we've had two funerals here at this church, and there's just been a lot of sickness. And a lot of, you got Frankie who's sick, and you got other people that are just sick, and they're needing God's touch in their body, and there's just, like I said, the deaths, and so Christmas for a lot of people is going to be a whole lot different this year than it was last year. And so we're just going to actually talk about problems. Anybody got a problem with you? That's exactly right. That's why we're going to talk about problems. Because this time of the year, problems are so rampant. It's amazing how rampant they are. Like last night, I'm walking through, and this one guy that normally is very on top of things and is always cheerful and always cutting up with me, and I go walking across the parking lot, and I'm standing from here to the front door in the dark with just a little bit of light, and I can see his countenance from way back there. And I said, "Something's not right." And so I walked up to him, and he said, "God's not listening." And that's when I explained to him why I was there, because I didn't have time to be there, why I was there. And it was not as bad. I mean, not as bad as part of prayer life. His situation was bad, but God was listening. Because he even told me, he said, "So you think God sent you up here?" He says, "You're up here all the time." I said, "Not at this time of night, and not for somebody that's not even there." I mean, I walked all the way up to the hospital in the third floor when I realized, wait a minute, it can't be 329. There's no way. And then I found out he was in Greenwood. So as a matter of fact, the Lord spoke to me and said, "You're not here for him anyway." That guy was going to go see. So I went downstairs. And there I run right into the guy. I was thinking, "Well, I don't see anybody else, Lord. I'm going to go and get on home with it." Okay. Problems. The blessing in disguise. Some of y'all with your problems right now, you don't realize you're more blessed than you would imagine. Did you know that? Matter of fact, there's people right now that would gladly trade problems with you. Let me back them up again. There's people in here, honestly, there's people that would gladly trade problems with you. Amen. Well, Bethany, go put this in the back of the church. This in the back of the church. Hold on. Okay. Matter of fact, you think you about had it with your husband. I guarantee there's a widow out there that would love to have your husband. Or you might say, I'm tired of these kids, but I guarantee there's somebody that's never had any kids would love to have your kids. Or I can't stand my wife anymore. There's somebody out there that would like to have your wife. I'm not saying that somebody looking. I didn't mean it that way. I just meant is we just keep thinking, or my job's driving me crazy. But a person that doesn't have a job would absolutely love to have your job. Or if their job is not meeting the needs in their family, they would love to have your job. So problems actually are a blessing in disguise. And here's why they're a blessing in disguise. You're going to want to take some notes. See, God's word is full of promises. Amen? God's word is full of promises. And keeping our eyes on the promises produce vision in our life. That's how we have vision. So how can God give me a vision? Here it is. Watch this. Keeping our eyes on the promises produce vision. If you keep your eyes on the problems, it's not going to produce vision. It's going to produce defeat and disgust. Okay? So watch this. Matter of fact, that's what I did last night. I tried to tell the person I was talking to, you're looking at the problem and you start looking at the promise. All right. So sometimes, even though we're doing the best we can to hold on to the promises, the problems still. Amen. And Satan will use these problems to discourage us and to defeat us and just to drain us of all of our energy. Because we see what's going on around us and we just get drained. We say, if this is how it's going to be being a Christian, then why do I want to even be here? If this is what it's like to serve God, then I definitely don't want to serve God. Because there's some tough stuff going on in my life. You know, I think about it. I sit there and watch Burton. Burton was doing so good. It was just a few months ago. He was out here at the Senior Saints driving. I hear the Senior Saints. And then he fell, broke his hip. And from breaking that hip, here it went. His dementia, he had a little bit of dementia. And as soon as he broke that hip, full-blown dementia kicked in. I mean, it was just bam. And so then they're talking about, well, what do I do? Can he go back home when he gets through with his hip? Because now he's not even talking like himself. But we always knew that, you know, every time he had surgery, he had a little bit of surgical dementia from being knocked out. But you know, anesthesia, but this time it wasn't. This was something that was full-blown coming on him. And so in a matter of a couple of months, he went from driving out here to Senior Saints to being in a rest home, and now he can't even leave the rest home. And he was in there to recuperate and got moved from the recuperation side to the nursing home side. And I mean, I was just sitting there and watching him. And every week I went to go see him, he fell down, down, down. But there was one thing about Burton that always amazed me. He was always concerned about somebody else. He very seldom, except with his dementia kicked in, he very seldom talked about himself. He always wanted to know how y'all were doing. He always wanted to know, was there anybody he needed to be praying for? And he would ask me, how was I doing? And I'd go to bless him, and he would bless me. It was just because he kept his mind not on the problem, but he kept his mind on the promises, okay? So that's one thing about problems. You got problems, I got problems, all God's children got problems. Amen. If you don't have any problems, come up here tonight and we'll pray for you for God to give you some problems. Because see, problems are common. Everybody has them. James 1 and 2 says to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know, the Amplified says, consider wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. I like the message against this. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know, Mother Teresa said, I just wish you didn't. I know God trusts me. I just wish you didn't trust me so much. So when things are happening from every direction, count it all joy. That word all joy literally means all joy in the Greek means to mix it with no other emotion. It means to literally be happy, not just happy. Happy is with happenstance, but happenings. Joy is a condition of the heart, not a condition of outside. It's an inside condition. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, because you know that when this thing, when you fall into these traps, that means something good's going on. God's doing something good for you. When the problems come, you got a choice. Again, you can be proactive or reactive. Now, I know people that are reactive. When they're reactive, when these problems come, they're reactive. They just got their mind on the problem. They don't have their mind on the promise, and they're never sure about themselves. They think they don't have any options. They're full of grief and sorrow and fear. But when somebody, when the problems come, when they're proactive, and they look at the promises versus the problem, then they're decisive. They have options. They have joy, and they have faith. You know, one of the things I read, you know, I won't tell y'all about my psychological analysis of myself. I'm right now working on the, I've worked on the rough draft. Now I'm working on the final draft. And again, it's 9 pages, cut down from 12. I mean, watch The Voice. I was speaking about that because I remember I was working on it and I was watching The Voice too. How many watched The Voice last night with Brooke Simpson? Do y'all remember Brooke Simpson? She used to come here. Yeah, she's in the top 10. Brooke's, her daddy and mama, they come here. They preach here. I've been knowing Brooke since she was 4. And she's been singing since she was like 6. Well, I remember last night I was watching Dad and Mama. They got all happy after she sang Amazing Grace. And it was absolutely awesome. Yeah, so I wrote back and said, told Daddy, I said, that was awesome. I said, baby girl threw down tonight. And he said, didn't she though? Then I wrote back and said, do you realize how old you look on television? And he wrote back and said, all right now. Okay, so here we go. You got your paper. Here we go. Now remember, hopefully tonight, you will make a decision to be proactive and not reactive. Remember, you can always tell a reactive person when they're having problems because they're never sure about themselves. They feel like they have no options or little options. They are surrounded by grief and sorrow, and they seem to bleed fear. But somebody's proactive in their problems, they're going to be decisive, have options, they're going to have joy, and they're going to bleed faith. It's going to be a whole different way. Amen. So, you know, I remember somebody told me one day, you know, said, why is it no matter how bad it is, you just seem to find the silver lining and you just seem to be happy as a lark and don't realize how bad it is? I said, I do realize how bad it is, but I'm happy as a lark because Jesus has got this. And then in my psychological analysis, one of the tests I took, it said, more than likely when bad things come, you're going to be happy as a lark. You know, I said, wow, they hit that one on the head. Amen. So again, I was impressed with that one page. Amen. Out of the 9 that I weren't impressed with. All right. So now, problems can be a blessing in disguise. Here it is. And I did an acrostic. Number 1, problems are a predictor of what may come in your future. In other words, watch this. If you're going through hard trouble now, know what's going on. Listen carefully. When problems come, my granddaddy, and I've told you this 1,000 times, my granddaddy used to go to the store and buy plants. You had to plant the seeds. When I was a little boy, you planted the seeds. And I remember my granddaddy used to have this little bitty 6-pack carton, and he'd put the seeds, put the not Miracle-Gro, but something like potting soil, put potting soil in it, and he would drop the seeds in it, and then they would come up, and then he would take and plant. He'd break it off and plant it with that thing in it, you know, inside that little carton. He'd plant it. Well, I was in there one day, and I was watching in his little room, his little shed, and he put his tomatoes up in the window. I went in there one day, and he had cups over the tomato sprouts. And I said, granddaddy, this makes absolutely no sense. I've watched you raise these things from a seed. They're coming up. You got them in the window. You're always turning them, making sure they're getting plenty of sunshine. And now I've come in here and you got cups on them. What's going on? I said, grandson, the tomato shot up too fast. He said, if I plant them now, they're not going to be able to withstand the bad weather because they have shallow roots. He says, so I put cups over top of them. So I'm straining, listen, I'm straining the amount of sunshine in order. As I strain this amount of sunshine, the strain of sunshine, in order that it forces the roots of those plants to go deeper and deeper to follow the water. He said, when I see that it's getting to the point where I don't think they can take it anymore, I'm gonna pull the cup up. He said, but I'm gonna have a stronger plant and it's gonna be able to produce better tomatoes because it's gonna have a deep root. Years later, I was thinking to myself, God, why are you letting all this happen to me? I'm a child of God. I'm working for you. I can't understand it. I'm trying to get where I'm, you know, trying to be good for you and trying to live my life to the fullest for you. And the Lord spoke to me and said, remember the tomato plant? Remember the cup? They didn't let me know. Watch this. A lot of times God allows things to come in your life, not to destroy you, but to cause your roots to go deeper. Because without deep roots, you're not going to be able to stand what's coming your way. And watch this. The harder the trial, that indicates to me how the deeper you're going to have to go, and also indicates to me the height of where you're getting ready to go. God knows where you're getting ready to go, the height you're getting ready to go. In order to get to that height, you've got to have roots to match it. So you're thinking you're being destroyed. You're not being destroyed. God's actually getting your roots deeper so you can handle the blessing that's coming. Some people right now, if they could only know, they're thinking, man, if I'm getting this tough, I can't stand it. I can't stand what's happening, blah, 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 blah. And if you only realize, God's letting your roots grow stronger, because usually it's a predictor. If you're having storms in your life, the size of the storm is the size of your future. If you're having bad storms, you're going to have a great future. If you're having little bitty storms, you're going to have a little bitty future. If you're having tremendous storms, you're going to have a tremendous future. You know, Super Bowls. Everybody remember Super Bowls? Back then when we didn't have computers and all this stuff, we got outside and spent hours throwing the ball and bouncing it. Yeah. Matter of fact, I did a psychological study, and I want you to know this. I hear kids, my grandkids will say, I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored. Next time a kid comes to you and says, I'm bored, say, good. You know why? Because if you do not allow a child to be bored, then you shut off their creativity. Their creativity heightens in their boredom. So, if you're not allowing them to be bored, then they're not really thinking the way they could be thinking. So let them be bored. Matter of fact, I haven't been bored since I've been a child of God. All right, but as a child, I stayed bored all the time. All right, so, watch this. Matthew 6:1-3. Well, I had it up here. Where did I put? Oh, there it is. Oh. I'm not old. I've been hit by a truck, remember? Yes, you were. And you're walking around moaning just like I am, old lady. Okay. Keep living. Matthew 16, and the Pharisees, verse 1. And the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky. Cannot you discern the signs of the times? Now, you're getting ready to do something that people may not know around you. And they see it is. Discern the signs of the times. If you're going through something terrible today, remember, it's an indication that something awesome is on the other side of this. And the depth of your hurt is going to be the height, the equal height of what's coming. So just hold on to that, all right? Now, number R, that's P, a predictor. Number R, reminder, life is not easy. You can't go it alone. you need God. Wow, that's pretty simple. That's self-explanatory. Listen, Psalm 124:1 says, if it hadn't been for God who was on our side, the men rose up against us, they would have quickly swallowed us up alive with their wrath that was kindled against us. So again, listen, you've got to have God on your side. This is just a reminder. Remember, you can't go it alone. Anybody here think you can go it alone? We can't go it alone. Every day, God shows me more and more and more how I need Him. Amen? Number O, opportunity. It's an opportunity for God to work miracles. Psalm 71:20 says, for thou hast showed me great and sore troubles. You shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Again, here it is. The bottom that you're in now is only an indication. If you feel like you're 6 foot under, then you're getting ready to go 6 foot above ground big time. Amen. It's getting ready to happen. You just got to trust God in all this. Psalm 71, I'm going to read another version of this too. Psalm 71:20. Ye who have shown us all troubles, great and sore, will quicken us again and bring us up again from the depths of the earth. Right? So look, and here's, you've made me stare trouble. I love the message. Watch this. You made me stare trouble in the face. Turn me around. Not let me look life in the face. I've been on the bottom, but you're bringing me. It's an opportunity. Matter of fact, when you're all the way down on the ground, it's kind of, look, there ain't nowhere to go but up. Right? And then Sunday morning, the Lord spoke to me strong and said, tell them, this is the last time. We're getting ready to see something. We're going to see something. We've come up, down, up, down, up. Y'all have seen it. They've always been here for a while. Up, down, up, down, up, down. The Lord told me I wouldn't say it, and I finally said it, and then I said it 2 or 3 times. This up and down is getting ready to cease. It's going to go up, and it's going to stay. That's awesome. All right? So now, B, blessing. Christians have always prospered under trial. Did you know that? If you look in the book of Acts, whenever the church was under trial, it grew mightily. But whenever the church was in the lap of luxury, it declined. In 325 AD, or around that time, 326, when the church was actually made a state religion, it started losing its power because it was not being chased anymore. You know, the codfish was being shipped up here. I'm going to use this in a sermon coming up shortly, but the codfish was being shipped up here to stores to be sold to restaurants. When they got it up here, it was absolutely bland. It was terrible. So somebody had a bright idea. Okay, why don't we ship live fish? So they said, okay. So they shipped live fish. They were still terrible. They were dying on the way up. So one guy said, well, you know what we need to do? In that big old container with codfish, codfish only has one natural enemy, and that's the cat. And so they would put a catfish in the tank with the codfish. And when they carried it from south up to the north, by the time it got up here, the fish were alive and vibrant and were fresh, and it was awesome. And why was it? Because they were fighting an enemy all the way up here. Some of y'all don't even realize. Look at somebody and say, look, don't look at somebody today, but think about it tomorrow at work. You're my catfish. You look at somebody tomorrow and just think it. You're my catfish. All right? God's using you to keep me alive. God's using you to keep me vibrant. God's using you to keep me on my knees. God's using you to make me stay down and bless you. I mean, and bless you, Lord. So again, just think about tomorrow. You know, matter of fact, you can probably just go look at somebody and go, meow. That's a catfish. Goes, you know, that's how a catfish sounds like. It goes. Okay. Yeah, I know it was this round. Okay. All right. L, lesson. A problem teaches us lessons that we can learn no other way. Matter of fact, I tell people all the time when they're going through something, I tell them, I say, you know what? I said, I know you're not going to like what I'm going to say. I said, but God is burning a lesson. I can read about it. You know, you said, you tell me, I'll forget. I can, I can read about it. I'll forget. If you take me and walk me through it, then I can learn it. And so, again, when you're going through trials, you go ahead and get with God then, and you go ahead and talk to Him, and y'all get in on it. Amen. I get serious. I mean, I get real serious when things get kind of rough. So Psalm 119 and 71 says, it's good for me that I'd been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Or again, it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Your word do I keep, hear and receive and obey it. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Or my troubles turned out for the best. They forced me to learn from your textbook. Wow. Matter of fact, some of us guys, we don't like to read directions until stuff doesn't work. And then we go back to the textbook and go, oh, that's right. I left out that one thing. Yeah. E, problems are everywhere. I got problems. You got problems. James 1:2 says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Remember, it's a gift. The word fall into literally means a snare, a trap. Something that happens fast. Many. Yes, many. And that's why it says right here, when you're enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Divers is various. You ever see divers in the Bible? It's various. That's if you're talking about Jonah. He was the first Hebrew diver. Amen. All right. M, message. Just like the dashboard's telling us something. Whenever I worked in HVAC, I would have to go every day, go to every chiller, go to every cooler, had to go to every whatever, and go to all the HVACs. And I'd have to go up in the air washers and I'd have to take a clipboard and I would take readings. I would take the major readings off of every piece of equipment every day. Sometimes it took 2 or 3 hours to take a reading off of every piece of equipment. And I would check the amperage, draw, and I would check the incoming voltage, and I would check the output, and then I would check also the condition of the filters and things. But every day by reading that, I could tell immediately when something was getting ready to happen in that piece of equipment. Because if it read 10 amps every day, and all of a sudden it read 15 amps, I would have to know, wait a minute, there's something wrong. It's been reading 10 amps now since forever, and now it's reading 15. Something's dragging. And if it goes to 17 or 18 the next day, I know it's getting ready to shut down. Okay, it's getting ready to blow a fuse. It's getting ready to do something. Because it's now more than a drag now. It's getting ready to go down. And so by doing that every day, they let me know ahead of time. So I could check things out in I could go down on my terms, not its terms, and I could check it. And once I checked it, then I could schedule maintenance when there was a scheduled downtime. Versus it goes down and there's no production going out. One way it doesn't cost, but just the cost of the maintenance. The other way it costs maintenance plus downtime of equipment. And like Procter & Gamble, it would cost millions of dollars for it to be down for a couple hours. I'm pretty sure PCS the same way. Okay. All right, so here we go. Message. M, message. Just like, again, it's the dashboard. That's what I was telling you about. And then finally, solvable. Every problem is solvable. Did you know that? There's no such a thing as a problem that's not solvable. You may not like the answer, but every problem is solvable. Every problem is solvable. Now, that's part of the development process. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, it says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, recognize and acknowledge Him. He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Here it goes. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen to God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go, for he's the one who will keep you on track. Again, when I was working at Procter & Gamble, my boss man came to me and said, David, you're going to a class with me next week, and it's all week long. I said, okay, what class am I going to? He said, the wizard class. The wizard class. He says, yeah, at the end of the week, you'll be a wizard. And I said, I don't think I like that. He says, hold on there, Holmes Lice. He says, my wife told me I couldn't. My wife told me I was getting into humanism. And in order for me to go, I needed somebody to be there to make sure that they weren't trying to bring humanism to the plan. And like, he's going to stop it. He couldn't stop it. But he said, what about if I bring David Lent with me? And she said, if you'll take David Lent with you, if he's okay with it, I'm okay with it. So I went to the first class. Everybody had to go through it. But all it was some guy took a bunch of biblical principles. Every one of them were biblical principles. And in the biblical principles, he left God out of it. But he gave the same biblical principles. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow, longer than you sow, exactly where you sow. All kinds of principles like that. And he said, there's no such thing as a problem that cannot be solved. And you do not have to take it. You can do what he's been on. And so I told him, I said, well, actually what he's doing is he's preaching the message, leaving the Bible out. And he said, is that okay? I said, well, he's getting biblical principles in here, praise God. And he said, okay. And so he went and told his wife and she was fine, you know. But again, even if you don't believe in God, this is so awesome. Even if you don't believe in God, his principles still work. Because I worked with atheists at Procter & Gamble, and they followed his principles. And God blessed them. But there was one guy, when I quit to go into full-time ministry, my boss man came up to me, and I didn't even know this until the night I was leaving. I was on second shift. I was getting ready to leave. He came up to me and hugged my neck, and he thanked me. And I said, what are you thanking me for, man? He said, before I worked with you, I was an atheist, confirmed, dedicated atheist. He said, but after working with you, he said, I seen God in a real way. He says, I want to thank you. I'm no longer an atheist. And I said, well, praise God. And I didn't shove it down his throat. Not one time did I shove it down his throat. We just worked together constantly. First, second, third. First, second, third. Third, second, first. Third, second, first. Third, third, third. Second, first. Second. Okay. And he got a chance to see somebody that was trusting God, not himself. Right? So again, tomorrow, number one, when you go to work, remember that person that gripes you, that you have a problem being around, just think about them as your catfish. And that catfish is keeping you alive. That catfish is keeping you fresh. That catfish is letting you taste good. Not to the catfish, but to the world. The Bible says what's good for the salt, if it's not going to do what it's supposed to do, just take it and cast it out, step on it. If it's lost its flavor, savor, just throw it out. So God sends us catfish. Thank God for catfish. Also, God sends us people that gripes our nerves. They're sandpaper. God sends us sandpaper to take care of our rough edges. He smooths us over. So some people are rough or sandpaper, and some people are catfish. But either way about it, it keeps us alive and keeps us going. I remember one day I was at work, and I'd got promoted over this guy. I didn't mean to get promoted. I didn't try to get promoted over. I just got promoted over him. And so he couldn't stand it. He was so mad. I got, only by the grace of God, this all worked out, how it worked out. But I was over there in engineering. And I got got over him. And so I remember that day I was in there trying, and I was in charge of all the electrical for the plant. And I had this great big old project, the biggest project we'd ever had, and I was taking care of all the computers and all the electrical for this project. And he came up and tried to make me look stupid. And he came up and told the boss man, said, David don't know what he's doing, blah, 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 blah. He needs me over there, blah, 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 blah. And I just said, and he argued with me all the way to the boss. And I just said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't hurt him. I haven't done anything to hurt him. I've only tried to help him. I can't help. I got promoted over him. Touch him, Lord. And when we got to the place where the boss man was, he said, you got some nerve putting David Linton over this project and putting David Linton over the electrical and over all the computers and the HVACs and all that. And my boss man looked over at him. I just was praying. I didn't know what to do. My boss man looked at him and said, Anthony, I'm going to ask you one time, leave David. He said, he knows what he's doing. He's qualified. If he needs your help, and I doubt it, he'll ask for it. But until that time, leave him alone. Work your area. He's got enough to do without taking care of you too. And inside I was going, but outside I was going, you know, holy, holy, holy. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. You know, again, let God fight your Bible, your battles. It's a problems or a predictor. Remember, it's a predictor. The harder you throw that Super Bowl, the higher it bounces. Some of y'all been thrown hard, but the harder you're thrown, the higher you're going to bounce. It's a reminder, life's not easy. You got to have God. Like that guy last night in the hospital, talking about God doesn't hear my prayers. I said, dude, he just heard it. He just sent you somebody. Opportunity for God to work miracles. It's a blessing. Christians have prospered under trial more than they do under prosperity. Lessons. There's always a lesson to learn. You're going to learn it. You can't learn it any other way. When my mama died, I learned some things I didn't think I didn't want to learn them that way, but there's some things I learned that I couldn't, that I praise God for. And when my wife died, there's some things I learned that I praise God for. I didn't want to learn either one of them that way, but I learned them and I thank God for it. Problems are everywhere. She might as well go and count it all joy. There's a message. It's like the dashboard, your dummy lights. If I can help it, I try not to get dummy lights in my car. I try to get, because I have worked HVAC and electrical stuff, I want to get something besides a dummy light. Because the dummy lights, you know, when it's time, I want to be able to look and see that my gauges, and see if there's a change in my gauges. So I know ahead of time to go get it checked out versus waiting for a dummy light to come in. And I've seen some people actually put tape over the dummy light. Have you ever seen that? They put tape over the dummy light. I say, well, why are you going to tape up a dummy light? It's trying to tell you something. Every problem is solvable. If you're willing to pay, that's what I was going to tell you. If you're willing to pay the price, every problem is solvable. Remember that. If you're willing to pay the price, every problem is solvable. Well, you can look at it that way. I mean, they're synonymous, problems and challenges. The difference is a challenge. If I look at it as a challenge, then I can look at it like, okay, I'm going to look at the problem through the promise. I look at the promise through the problem through the promise, then it's a challenge. I tell people all the time, and I've told people this in the last couple of weeks, I've told it a lot. This that you're going through is not a stop sign. It's a speed bump. Speed bump's healthy. A speed bump tells you to slow down. Look at what's going on. You know, where we live at on Slatestone Hills Drive, whatever you want to call that thing, there's Slatestone Drive where the high school's at, and then Slatestone Hills, which is behind the high school. And there's a cutoff off of Slatestone that goes right through Slatestone Hills, and they can bypass the light and bypass a bunch of stuff. And so every morning and every afternoon, everybody's driving real slow through there. And every morning and every afternoon, about 3 o'clock, at about 7:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, people are going to school, and they're bypassing it and flying in front of my house. I mean, flying. I saw a guy yesterday. I believe he was going 60 miles an hour in 35. And so I told Linda, I got a solution. I'm going to get some proximity switches, and I'm going to put them out there, and I'm going to put up an inflatable man and lay him in the road. And whenever he comes through and hits that proximity switch, it blows that man up and thinks somebody's in the road and they got to stop. Or either, you know, something, because these people are crazy. And it's, a lot of them are students, they're not paying attention, they're too young, they're not thinking, and they're going to hit somebody. They're going to hurt somebody. But still, again, that problem's solvable too. If enough police sit out there and start giving tickets, it'll stop very quickly. The other night, the craziest thing happened to me the other night. I was awakened. I think I told y'all this. I was awakened at 2:30 in the morning. Linda says, "Honey, somebody's knocking at the door." I said, "Linda, what clock is this? 2:30. She said, "Somebody's knocking at the door." So I get up and I look out the window and I see a police car pointed toward my car. I said, "Okay." So I go walk to the front door. By the time I open the front door, there's three police cars pointed at me. And so I opened the door and I said, "Sir, can I help you?" And obviously he had not been trained in communication. Because the first thing he said was, "Sir, I didn't mean to wake you." "Yeah, you did. You knocked on my door. You kept banging till somebody came. You did mean to wake me, but I didn't say anything." Then he said, "Did you know you left your GPS on in your car?" And I said, "Is it an ordinance?" Well, you know, I went back and told Linda. She said, "Were we blinding the neighbors? What was it?" And I said, "Okay, I left my GPS on." He says, "Not only that, but your doors are unlocked." I said, "Okay." He said, "Can you please come out here and turn the GPS off?" I am not kidding you, 2:30 in the morning. So I said, "Let me get some clothes on." So I went back and put on some clothes, and I come back. No. I had my shorts on. No. I had my pajamas on, okay? Yeah. And so I walk out to my car and open the door. And he says, "See, your GPS is on." I said, "Yes, sir, I'm aware of that." And then he says, after all this, he goes, "Well, last night we had somebody break into a car in your neighborhood." He still didn't tell me. I figured all this out. They come by patrolling the area, saw the GPS on my car, and thought somebody was in my car with a flashlight. And so they stopped and checked my car. I'd been moving. So I got a whole bunch of junk in my back seat, and not only a whole bunch of junk, but when I started moving stuff in, some of it got thrown in the floor, and some of it still laid around. So he looked at my car and said, "Obviously somebody's hit this thing inside." And so I looked around, and he said, "Make sure nothing's stolen." I said, "That's the same junk I had to start with." I said, "Would y'all like some trash?" And he goes, "No." And so I closed up my car, locked the door, turned off GPS. And so far, praise God, the GPS police has not come by again. Talk about welcome to the neighborhood. All right. But again, he'd have been a whole lot better off if he just told me, "Look, we had somebody in the neighborhood, broke into a car last night. We come up in your car, we saw the GPS on, thought it was a flashlight. We went and checked your car and saw it was unlocked. Can you come out and make sure nothing's been stolen?" No. Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up, but you know your GPS is on. And when I come back, Linda could not go to sleep or myself for another hour because every now and then she'd start laughing or I'd start laughing. And she goes, "Sir." All right. Any questions? Any comments? We're going to keep on through Christmas. I'm going to talk about problems, okay? So we're going to have some more talk about problems next week and the week after. But after that, we'll go back into our regular stuff in the new year. But know that God's got this. Amen? Amen. Y'all, and y'all please pray for me, for my psychoanalysis of myself. I was really kind of upset when I saw that thing. I said, when it said, every week I've had to analyze myself. Every week. And this last week, I've got to throw it together and then come up with what makes me tick. And so far, like I said, I haven't found anything. So obviously, I'm running on God's air. Now, obviously, did you realize I found out that I'm not afraid to talk to people? I'm not afraid of a challenge. I'm not afraid to do it by myself if I need to. I mean, all this stuff, they're telling me all this stuff. And I'm amazed. Amen. And also it even says, it's a wonder you're still alive. I hear that all the time, too. Yes. All right, ready? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for this night. We thank you, God, for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you for all that you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we give this night to you. The church said, amen. Go home and remember, tomorrow that person that's aggravating you is